Amen. I tell you, praise and worship was so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Amen. That we can have the freedom to worship him. You know, you might say, well, does it bother you if somebody gets too loud? No, it bothers me if somebody gets too soft or too low. No, I feel this way. You know, God has made everybody different. Everybody's different. And so, you know, we have the ones that shout loud, praise God. We have the ones that are a little lower, praise God. As far as with shouting, some like to kneel. I love to kneel before God. That's just my personal thing. That's what I do. I love to. Some people don't like that. Some people like to lay down before the Lord. Some people like to sit in their chair, whatever. Look, just so you're doing what God wants you to do. Now, the word of God says to come, and he says to shout before him. He says to give him praise, to give him honor, and to give him glory. So I want to thank you for worshiping him and honoring him this morning. And thank you for obeying him and the things that he would want you to do. And so you see, because we've come today not to lift up anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he's done for us, so that we can share that with to the world, to the people that we know of, to give out that spirit, that anointing, that power that is upon our lives. And also, you know what? When we lift up our hands, because it says to come together and lift up holy hands. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Lord, you don't, well, Pastor, you don't know, but my hands are not holy. The Bible says what he calls holy, don't call unholy. And the thing we look at is when we say, Lord, Pastor, I'm not holy. We're looking at everything we did during the week or last year or last month or last whatever, the past. And God doesn't look at the past anymore, because he says when it goes under the blood of Jesus, he remembers it no more. Amen. And I know that's hard for us to realize. And that's hard for us for it to sink in sometimes, that he remembers it no more. It's like we have never done anything evil in our lives before. It's the blood of Jesus. Now, it doesn't give us a license to sin. No, 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 no. Not at all. It gives us a license for grace and mercy from our Father. That's what it gives us through the blood of Jesus Christ. When that blood was shed upon Calvary's cross, every drop of blood that was shed, from the time they beat him to the time he was walking up the hill of Golgotha, the times that they pulled on his beard, they pulled on his hair, they beat his back, they scourged him, they even poked his side with a spear that went straight on the inside, and it says that water and blood mixed together flowed out of him. As he was laid upon that cross, not gently, because they hated him. They threw him on that cross. They were not gentle with him. He had the crown of thorns upon his head. They stretched out his hands, and nails went through. And a nail through his feet. Every drop of blood that was shed for you and I. Because it wasn't blood of a normal person, if you want to say it that way. Because that blood was pure. No sin at all. Can you imagine? Jesus lived a sinless life from the time he was born to the time he was 33 years of age and died. That he committed no sin at all. say, Pastor, I know that's hard for me to believe. I know it. Sometimes that's hard for us to believe. But we know what the Bible says, and the Bible says that he was without sin. That's why when he died, he took that blood and he brought it to the Father. And the Father says, payment for all of humanity from the past, the present, and the future of all their sins ever created or ever made. That's why it's so important for us to realize it's the blood of Jesus, not our goodness, that gets us to heaven, but it's the blood of Jesus that changes everything with our lives. It's the blood of Jesus that is dividing line between good and evil. It's the blood of Jesus that sets us free from sin. It's the blood of Jesus that keeps us on the right track. The blood. You might say, well, what do I have to do? You have to accept him as Lord, number one. You have to believe what he did. And put your faith in nothing that we can do, but in all that what he has done. Everything of what he has done to set us free from all the evils of this world. Because you see, even after we get saved and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, even after we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God and the presence of God is upon our hearts and upon our lives, oh, Slewfoot is out there. And all his things, stuff, can name all kinds of things. They're out there, and they're coming to try to steal from us, to kill us, and destroy us. And if they can't do that, they try to destroy our faith in our God. Because if he can come to me and destroy my faith in my God, that means I have nothing to look forward to. I have nothing to believe my God for. I'm believing that my God is defeated. I'm believing that my God can't handle a situation. I'm believing that my God cannot do it. If he can destroy the faith that God has put in us. But God is saying, let your faith rise up. Let your faith rise up. Let your faith rise up. And the rising of our faith is, number one, it has to be put in the cross of Calvary. Not the wooden beam that we have. And that, I know that's a symbol of Christ, thank God. But to put our faith in the action of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And our faith will rise up to believe God for the impossible. Because you see, when I put my faith and you put your faith in God and what he has done, he builds our faith up. Amen. And what has happened through the 60 years of the latter reign of the church, because the cross of Calvary has not been preached, the faith of God's people, because it's not in the right direction, has been diminished. How many times have we heard, and I'm going to get into my message. How many times have we heard, man, many years ago, we used to, even before I was born again, I've been born again 30 something years. People, you hear people of old tell of how people were healed by God. I mean, miraculously healed, blindness. Of all kind of diseases, of all kinds of things. It's because of one major thing. The cross of Calvary was preached to put their faith in that and that alone. That blood is the difference in night or day, in winning or losing. Putting our faith in him alone, people. Look, I know the enemy's out there. When we first started church, I could feel the heaviness in this place. I said, Lord, okay. There's nothing wrong with us. But you see, the enemy's out there. There are people that don't like us. Evil people. I'm talking about people that do all kind of evil. Not just normal people. I'm not talking about that. In the spirit realm, that don't like us. Because we're making inroads into the kingdom of darkness. Dispelling that darkness. As you pray and seek God, the darkness has to flee. As we were worshiping and people, someone ran and just worshiping and having the light of the presence of God filled this place. And it's like, oh my God. I said, Lord, what's going to happen here? Okay, whatever. You see? I've gotten to the place and I know, you know, it's like, Lord, what do you want? Because you see, you know what your people need. You see, I have to be like Moses. And I'm saying I'm Moses. Please don't get me wrong. And I know you don't think that. But I like to make sure. I'm not Moses. But I have to be kind of like Moses as he was leading the children of Israel out of bondage. And what did he follow? The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which was what? The presence of God. And sometimes the presence of God will lead you in a hole, in a tight place, so that we can see what God can do. We can see what God can do. We can see. You see, sometimes we might think, well, Lord, why? Lord, I thought you were over my life and I thought you were leading and guiding. Look what look where I am in my life. And sometimes we do make bad decisions, but that's okay. But as far as leading by the Holy Spirit, but then that's when you can see God move people. You can see God move in an area that you never saw him before. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? As they got to that Red Sea, and Moses knew he couldn't turn millions of people around and go a different direction. He knew they couldn't go over the mountains. And he knew he couldn't defeat Egypt's army. And he knew he couldn't walk on water. So there was no way there. And all he could do was look up. It's an amazing thing, people. Why did God put a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day? And there's different reasons, I know, to keep them warm and to cool and to heat during the night. But also to keep the children of Israel looking up. That's the message in itself, people. Amen. Every day, people. And I'm not saying, you know, physically, but physically they had to look up. But spiritually, people, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Look up for what God's going to do. Look up and see your God move upon your situation. Look up and see God move upon your finances. Look up and see God move upon your jobs. You know, I was talking to someone before church and I was saying, you know, as a church, we are so blessed. Not one person in this place that I know of, not one family, not one person that I know of, and I know a bunch of people here, doesn't have a job. It may not be the job they want at times or like, you know, we all have those up and downs. But not every, nobody. You don't realize how many pastors I talk to and they have many, many people in their churches that don't have jobs. None. You might say, well, my job's a little iffy right now. Well, don't worry about the iffiness. Just worry about keeping your eyes upon God. And I said, it's two reasons. Number one, because we tithe as a church, and because our people tithe, and God takes care of the rest. Because you see, we don't run on the world's economy. We run on God's economy and what God says, because God's economy is foolishness to the world. It is. Why would they understand it? But God's people understand it. And they put into it, and God moves upon that situation, moves upon their finances. I want you to turn to Revelations, please, chapter 12. I appreciate you guys. Y'all are a great bunch of people. You are a great army for the Lord. Great army. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 7, starting with verse 7. This is talking about a future war that's going to happen in heaven, or with heaven and Satan. It says this, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That means he was defeated, people. Okay? Satan was defeated, not God. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You might say, well, my God, let me just stop right there because I want to get into that next. Can you imagine? We can see part, and I know, you know, we have this mentality. Sometimes we think, well, you know, there's just heaven. But there's many parts of heaven, many, many different parts. And there's probably the mid part of the tribulation time, which would be about 3.5 years, there's going to be a great war. Now, it's going to be a war that is provoked, if you want to say it that way, by God Almighty. Oh, he's a man of war. And it says that he's going to war, and he knows who's going to win. But old Slewfoot still thinks that he can win. And old Slewfoot still thinks that he can destroy you. Old Slewfoot still thinks, he still thinks that he can steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. He still thinks that. You might say, well, man, sometimes I think he might be doing a pretty good job. Well, let me ask you this. Are you still here? That means he hasn't done it. He has not succeeded. He's tried. And it says in Zechariah, I think it's chapter 2 or 3, verse 1, it says that, talking about the prophet, that they go before, you know, the enemy goes before our God and petitions our God to do certain things. He has it up. It's 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. What I want, and you can see it in Job 2, where old Slewfoot has some part of heaven, little part where he has access to the Father. And what he does is he accuses you. He says, you know, old Joe Blow down there. Oh, he made it. Look what he did. And boy, he might even say the date and the time. And the Father says, yeah. Then he turns to him and says, I remember it no more. Or he'll go to the Father and he'll say, I want to do this. Because he has to petition the Father, people. The devil does not, I know he's the God of this world. He's won that, however, in certain sense. He's the God of this world, but yet he does not have full access to us. He cannot do what he wants to do to us unless he has permission from the Father to do it. He cannot just go to you and bring destruction. He cannot just go to you and bring depression. He cannot go to you and bring torment of the mind. He cannot do it. He cannot do that unless the Father would allow him to do it. Your God and my God is in control. It may look like the world is out of control. It may look like everything's out of whack. But our God is still in control of our lives and what's happening in us and through us. So every morning we can get up and we can say, yes, things may happen that may not be good, and things may happen that may be good. But our God is still in control. Our God is still in control. A great war will take place, provoked by our God with Michael the Archangel. And they will come against each other. And we know who prevails, our God, by far. But old Slewfoot will try. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that he tries to what? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes that he might give us life. And that we may have it what? More abundantly. Giving us life. It's through the blood, people. It's through the blood of Jesus. Not human blood like our blood, but it's God's blood that he shed, Jesus' blood that he shed upon Calvary's cross. And from that time forward, that was pure before our God, that can take the sin penalty away from us. But as he goes to the Father commissioning to do certain things, our God is in control. Remember this. If our God is in control, no matter what happens, our God is with us. We can look at Job and we can see all the horrible things that happened to him, from losing all his children, all his possessions, everything. And even three of his best friends telling him, curse God and live. What? Boils all over his body. All kinds of evil. And people would look and say, well, he must have done something evil. No, he didn't. He just served God. And all of a sudden, when time was it, God changed every situation in their lives. But I want to get to this next verse in Revelation chapter 12. Look at this. Look at this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That means there's no more access to him in heaven at all anymore. That means at that time he will not be able to accuse anybody ever again. Which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You can stop right there. Well, I'll read it. And rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Go back to the other verses, right? And they overcame him. People, look. There's no other victory in our lives except victory through the blood of Jesus. The church has tried it all, but there's no other victory except through the cross of Calvary. It says they did this. They overcame him, and they're talking about old Slewfoot. It's not capitalized at all, okay? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. They overcame him by the blood. Their faith was put in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, people. It's the blood and nothing else. Nothing else. The blood of the Lamb. And we can look towards any and everything else, but it will not help bring victory. The blood. And by the word of their testimony, that means they kept their faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross and never turned any other way. Never turned to the left or to the right. Doesn't mean they didn't have problems. I was listening to somebody on the radio, and they were talking about they are pastors. So, and he was saying, you know, as pastors, the enemy is out there trying to destroy pastors in whatever capacity or whatever way he can. Because he knows if he can destroy a pastor and that family, he'll have the rest of the people. You see? And so the enemy will pour out his evil, trying to bring destruction of whatever he can. And he said that's why pastors have high points and low points. And they keep going through those things, you know, high points and low points in their lives because of certain things that the enemy's doing out there, trying to bring destruction of whatever he can, you know, whatever he can. You know, I know, you know, it's hard out there. Here you are trying to serve God with everything within you. We read our Bibles. I mean, we love our Bibles. Thank God for the food that he's given us. We pray. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet you're going through life and the enemy just comes up with all kinds of things that try to bombard your mind, huh? I mean, you know, you're just walking along, minding your own business, doing your work, doing whatever needs to be done. And all of a sudden this thought comes through that you're going, oh my God, where did this come from? And that's just arrows and darts of the enemy as fiery darts that he's trying to throw into our minds and into our lives to bring destruction wherever he can. Because you see, he knows the mind, if he can get a person to think on something long enough, that it will eventually fall down to the spirit and take root, and that's the problem, and then it starts to grow, and then there's manifestations of a lot of difficulties. See? So what we have to do is we put on the armor of God, and you know that can, and you know we know what the armor of God is, but basically if we put our faith in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross, the armor of God is on us. The blood of Jesus covers us. And it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So as we put our faith in Christ, in what he's done, as the enemy comes, and as he tries to throw darts and things to think on things or do whatever, that God Almighty will shield off those things. And if it does get through and it comes in, remember this, just because a thought goes into your mind doesn't mean it's sin. It's if we let it linger on when it becomes planted that it starts to foster things that may not be correct. So what we do, we try to cut those things to the best of our ability. We trust our God. The armor of God is upon us. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. He was talking about the future church, people. He was talking, John wrote it in the future, but it's happening today. We've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony because we have our faith and trust in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross and nothing else. That it is him that has given us the victory. It is him that goes before us. It is him that fights our battles. It is him that does the travailing for us. It is him that meets our needs. It is him that brings the people. It is him that builds up a church. It is him by his spirit and by his anointing that goes before us and says, I'll make something great in him or in her. When David fell, I'm about to close here, and he did one of the most awful things we know, sleeping with somebody that he shouldn't have been with, not his wife, okay? Remember, it's not right. People, come on. It's not right. You might say, well, you know what? Get things right. Just get things right. But God still had mercy upon him because he did something. He didn't, well, for a while he tried to hide, but after a while he went before God and he said, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." And you know, God is so merciful. God said, "Okay." And we know there's some other implications to that, but God forgave him. And in the scriptures, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. It's the blood that makes the difference, people. The blood at Calvary's cross. You and I may make mistakes, and we may say something or do something, whatever, all that stuff. Go to the Father. Go to the Father. Look to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to go before you. And you get up. See, this is what we cannot do. Look, I'm a prophesy to you. Future. You're going to fail God. You will fail God. I know it. We all will. God will say something to us and we will not obey. But then God will speak to us and we will obey. And we will have, and when we don't obey, we'll have to go before him and we'll ask forgiveness. And his mercy and his grace comes in. That's the kind of God we serve. And we learn to trust him. We learn to listen to his voice. Because it says, "My people know my voice." The blood of Jesus, people. You know that old song, "He paid a debt he did not owe. He owed a debt he could not pay." And it says, "I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace." He paid the debt that we can get up every morning and say, "Father, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for Calvary's cross. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." He didn't say they overcame him by all the scriptures they quoted. And we need to know scriptures. But he didn't say that. He didn't say they overcame him by how much they fasted. And we need to fast and pray. He didn't say they overcame him how much they pray, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That means all works we have to leave aside, and we got to put our faith in Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross. Faith in him and him alone brings salvation to us all. Faith in him and him alone brings peace to our lives. Faith and faith in him alone brings victory in our hearts and in our lives. Faith in him alone. That's all. Praise be to God. Amen. You may stand, please. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As every head is bowed for just a minute, please. Every eye is closed for just a minute. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart and life to him this morning? If you've never given your heart to him and you'd like to do so, or maybe you have and you're saying, "Pastor, I need to rededicate my life to him," would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? As I'm just looking around just to make sure. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Look, you can look this way. As far as I know of, everybody's A-okay. Thank you. Look, I want to tell you something. Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love y'all. And we thank God for y'all. Y'all are a great bunch of people. Thank you for the praise and worship this morning. Thank you for going a little out of your comfort zone and raising your hand maybe or doing something, whatever, whatever. But thank you, and we appreciate you guys. Amen. Ron, would you come just for a minute? You see, he thinks he's in trouble. He's not in trouble. Oh, look, he said, oh, good, thank goodness. No, I appreciate this man. I appreciate him and his family and their love for God and his faithfulness. And we just appreciate it. I'd like for you to close us in prayer, if you don't mind, this morning.
In prayer?
Yeah. Just pray for the church. Pray for us.
I really thank God for you, my pastor, and we're just so happy to be a part of this church. I just thank God for the people. Thank God that the Lord bring us here. This is where we belong the whole time. So that's my prayer. Thank God for this church, all the people that's here, and for you, Pastor. We praise God for you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your people. Lord, pour out your anointing and your spirit upon them. Help them to do your will, Lord God. Help them to accomplish what you put before them, Lord. Great are you, Lord God. Help us to worship you with everything within us. Be with us and help us to accomplish your will. We give you praise and honor, Lord God. Protect each and every one of us as we're on our jobs this week, wherever we shall go. Let everything we put our hands to prosper, Lord God. And bring people across our path that need to know about you, that we can share the gospel with them. And Lord, your spirit will be with us. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.